Good morning. This is Dina Marie, host of Faith Moments and the Voice of the Shepherd with a Franciscan Moment on Mater Dei Radio. The Feast of the Stigmata of St. Francis is celebrated in the Franciscan liturgical calendar on the 17th of September. With me today to talk about this unique feast day in the church is Franciscan Friar Father Dan Petit of the Third Order Regular, Province of the Most Sacred Heart. Father Dan, it's great to have you back on the program this morning. Hello.
Hello, Dina Marie. Good to see you again, too, and happy Labor Day.
Yes, happy Labor Day as we are producing this program. And as we were looking at the September calendar, you know, I didn't know that September 17th had a connection with St. Francis and his stigmata. And so take us to this time of St. Francis's life when he received the, I guess, the physical vision or the physical ramifications of our Lord's suffering in his passion.
Yeah, it was a very dark time in his life because he had just finished writing the rule that of 1223. That was the final rule that the friars live by to this day. And it was a difficult time because some of the friars were pressing for changes. For example, living in houses. For example, Francis never lived in a house his whole life. He lived out in the woods, he had to kind of face that down, and they finally got that done. And so he began to repose up in his hermitages, places where out in the woods where he would pray. And one of those was way outside of Assisi. It was a mountain that was given to the saint. And he was up there in this hermitage praying when there was a seraph that appeared to him. And this seraph, what it did was it imprinted on the body of Francis the wounds of Christ. And this is the first time recorded in history where a human being actually bore the wounds of Christ in his body. And Francis is the first one. And that was the experience, a very deep and profound prayer of contemplation of an actual seraphim appearing to him, which is in the heights of the angelic choirs, you know.
Right. Yeah. And to think about this vision of an angel, and we do even in scripture here, I think particularly in the book of Revelation, or we hear St. John talking about, I've seen, you know, the angels that Francis had this type of an encounter.
Yeah, and that's what Francis was doing. I mean, he was in contemplation. He was up there on this mountain. It's actually called Mount Liberna. It's a very famous Franciscan site. And he was there in contemplation. Now, the seraphim appeared to Isaiah, for example, the prophet. Mm-hmm. And it was described as having six wings. And that's exactly what Francis saw. The same, they had this seraphim. Two wings covered the lower body, and two wings held it aloft while two wings were in praise. And this was the stance of the seraphim. They're in burning love of God. Mm-hmm. And this is what the seraphim imprinted upon the soul of Francis, was this burning love of God that then eventually manifests in his body as the wounds of Christ. Because that's what Christ was the burning love of God. He was the fire, and it was that fire that he came to ignite on earth. Hmm. And so Francis was really set ablaze with that fire.
Do we know what happened afterward? He was in this time of prayer. I read somewhere like a 40-day time of fasting and prayer at this Mount Liberna. And then he comes, you know, almost like a transfiguration moment, you know, of having this mountaintop experience. And then he comes back down into the work of the rest of the community. You know, what happened next?
Well, it's kind of fascinating. This became, at that time, known as the secrets. And so he kept them secret. And his particular wounds actually also manifested the nails on his skin. So he actually had his skin built up, the nails, and they were bent down under his feet. So he couldn't walk anymore. He had to always go someplace on a donkey because it was so painful. Mm. And he did a 6-month preaching tour at this time. And only his closest companions, there were four very close companions, knew of the stigmata. And there was rumblings, but no one knew for sure. And he went on this preaching mission, and they were getting close to the town of Perugia. And they said, "We'll soon be there, Francis, and that'll be your chance to preach." Well, they kept going, and he never started preaching. And they finally walked out the other side of the town, and Francis came to himself. He says, "I thought we were going to preach in Perugia." Well, he had gone into ecstasy as they walked through the town and was in this deep, profound contemplation. And we do have one of his habits that survives that has blood on it on the side from his wound in the side. And the friars had to clean these every now and again. And one of the friars touched it one time. It was so painful. Francis yelled out, you know, because these pains, these wounds really brought him pain. But the whole time after that, he wasn't able to walk anymore. He had to go by donkey, and the brothers led him around and tried to keep it secret.
Mm-hmm. Do we know, does St. Francis write anything about this experience so that we have a firsthand account of his, of this stigmata and this particular event in his life?
Yeah, the only way we know about it is he shared it with his closest companions that were with him on Mount Laverna when it happened. They didn't see it happen, but he came back. And of course, he has these wounds. Francis, what happened to you? And he had to tell them, you know. And then they helped him keep it a secret until his death. Of course, he died at the Porciuncula, that little chapel, Our Lady of the Angels. And in his case, unlike Padre Pio, a few days before Padre Pio died, his wounds disappeared after over 50 years he had them. Francis stayed, and they laid his body out naked when he died. He wanted to go naked before the naked Lord. He said, "I came into this world with nothing. I want to leave this world with nothing. Take my clothes off and lay me on the ground." And he died, and over 1,000 friars walked past and saw the wounds on his hands. And so there were many witnesses that actually saw the stigmata, and they were just dumbfounded, you know, that Francis, I mean, for us, you know, we experience conversion interiorly, but for most of us, it doesn't manifest externally on the body like that, you know, this transformation of Christ that we experience interiorly. But in the case of Francis, he was conformed in body, soul, and spirit, not just soul and spirit, you know, but also his body showed that conformity of his body to even Christ's body.
Right. Again, we're talking with Father Dan, Franciscan friar, and in the month of September is the feast day that the Franciscans recognize, recognizing this event of Francis receiving the stigmata. Father, we're coming up to a break. I want to have you hold on the line. I've got more I want to talk with you about, just how we can really process this and learn from this event, significant event in St. Francis's life. Can you hold on for a few more moments?
Yes, of course.
Good morning. This is Dina Marie with another Franciscan Moment on Mater Dei Radio, and I'm back with Franciscan Friar Father Dan. We've been talking about a beautiful feast day in the church, and maybe you didn't know about it, but on September 17th, the Franciscan community remembers of St. Francis actually being the first one in recorded history to have received the stigmata, or those wounds of Christ, on his own body, and lived with those wounds for the last 2 years of his life. Father Dan, thanks for coming back on the program with us.
Oh, good to be with you, Dina Marie.
Well, you mentioned a little bit about St. Francis and those last 2 years of his life. And I just think about how you mentioned how painful. Let's just reflect a little bit about what we can learn, because Francis was a saint who loved Christ, who conformed his life as much as he could to Christ. And then this is something that he didn't do. It was done upon him, that it was a grace. It was a gift, this gift of the stigmata. Maybe some people would say it would be a burden, but maybe talk a little bit about how St. Francis, through this experience, would have conformed more to Christ.
Well, you know, it's interesting when you talk about conformity to Christ. Francis was disappointed in 1219 when he went down. He tried to preach Jesus Christ to the Sultan, who who was the head of the Muslim world. And just to name Jesus in the Muslim world meant the death penalty. So he comes before the leader of the Muslim world, the Sultan at that time, preaches Jesus Christ, anticipating this is going to be the moment of total conformity. I'm going to be martyred for the name of Jesus. And the Sultan, and he turns to him in such friendship and even gives him an armed guard back to the Christian line. He was disappointed. Well, this was what our Lord had in store for Francis. You know, martyrdom itself is a gift. No one is a self-willed martyr. I mean, in other words, you want to even pray to be delivered from self-willed martyrs. It's a gift. It's a gift that our Lord gives you. Well, that's the same with this. In this case, an angel was dispatched to fill Francis with so much burning love for God that it became manifest in his body as the consummate sign of God's love, which was the wounds of Christ. And that's what he became, totally conformed to Christ for the last 2 years of his life, for all to see and recognize at the end of his life when they went walking by and they saw this total conformity in body, soul, and spirit.
So, Father, I think about so many of our loved ones, maybe ourselves, when we experience, you know, a crisis, a real physical suffering, maybe it's an emotional, spiritual suffering, but we are enduring great pain in our life. And so many of us do at certain times in our lives. How can we look at that, not just as the pain, but also to connect that with our love of Christ?
Yeah, the only way that I think it can happen is through faith. Faith acknowledges that Jesus Christ is really, truly, substantially present, for example, in the Eucharist. I see only bread in my senses, but my faith affirms the presence of Christ. Well, I think it's something similar to that, especially when the events of our lives become traumatic or we begin to hit the wall or we become despondent and discouraged. That's our weak human spirit. How do I tap into Christ except by faith in the same way I would when I see him in the Eucharist through faith? And he's there and he's helping bear us up so that it doesn't, so that our human weakness doesn't have its way with us all the way. And we maybe become self-destructive or begin to tank in some way that can be so harmful.
Father Dan is with us, Franciscan friar, talking about the stigmata of St. Francis. And this is celebrated on September 17th. What will the Franciscan community do, or is there anything particularly special during the liturgy to recognize this event in Francis's life?
Yeah, you know, the Franciscan liturgy, for example, of the hours, we have a complete set of hours for the Feast of the Stigmata. It is a feast for us. It is celebrated at Mass as well. We have the Gloria. And it's on September 17th, which is only 3 days removed from the Exaltation of the Cross in the Universal Church on the 14th of September. So in the liturgy, we have the Mass as a feast. We have the Liturgy of the Hours. The Universal Church on September 17th always celebrates St. Robert Bellarmine, the great saint and doctor of the Church, the Jesuit cardinal of the Reformation. And as a Franciscan, I've never been able to celebrate Robert Bellarmine as a result of that. So, because we celebrate the Feast of the Stigmata.
Right, right. Well, and you mentioned Padre Pio, and this is, you know, 700 plus years later after St. Francis, is that in our modern day, another Franciscan friar, Padre Pio, also received the stigmata. Maybe just mention a little bit, because his feast day also comes up this month.
Yeah, quite remarkably, Padre Pio, of course, had it for over 50 years. And just before he died, his skin became that of like a baby's when the wounds disappeared toward the end of his life. And again, this, I think, is the evidence, like what you were speaking of before, is what a gift this is. And it's a gift that keeps on giving. And maybe we, in our conversion, don't experience the same bodily conformity as a sign by receiving the wounds. But nonetheless, we are still called, as was Padre Pio, as was Saint Francis, to become saints in the body. And of course, Padre Pio, he suffered so much in the body, even actual physical attacks from demons and the like, obviously because the demons are so routed and exposed by the wounds of Christ. It's what defeated them. Mm-hmm. And they attack it, and they attack Padre Pio. And by God's providence, he was permitted to be even beat up physically by these demons. But of course, at the same time, the grace was given to resist that and vanquish them the same way Christ did upon the cross.
Right. Well, I think one of the lessons I learned, Father Dan, just in thinking about this event with Francis and as Padre Pio, is to really look at that crucifix, that the crucifix is our hope. It is our truth. It is our life. And Jesus's wounds, he suffered those wounds for us.
Yes. Well, you know, it points to a truth that St. Augustine ultimately led to St. Augustine's conversion, because he was into Manichaeism for a while, and evil was a god and good was a god, and they were battling it out. And what St. Augustine finally came to was the realization that God is capable of doing something we human beings are not. And it's this: he's the only one that can bring good out of evil. Because that's what the crucifixion was. It was totally evil, from the cowardice of Pilate to the betrayal of Judas to the beating from Longinus, who put, you know, striped him and everything. All of that was evil, but God brought good out of that in the resurrection in a way that, as human beings, we can't do that. And that's what the cross is. It's our hope of the impossible, which only God can accomplish, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely. Father Dan with us again, Franciscan Friar, and I encourage people to celebrate with the Franciscans on September 17th, also Padre Pio's feast day, September 23rd. So beautiful ways to recognize the gifts of our saints, and really their brothers and sisters that want us to get to heaven. And so we want to also be a saint with them. Father Dan, I want to thank you for joining us once again to share a little bit more about St. Francis and the Franciscan community. Would you help us close this time with prayer?
Sure. Let's ask God's blessing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, as we come into September, we start our new year of the liturgical year. As we continue the journey with you, we pray that you will inspire us by these great examples and these saints, Saint Francis and Saint Padre Pio. Help us to grow in deeper love of your Son, Jesus, in and through their prayer and inspiration. We ask your blessing upon us, that you remain with us now and always and forever, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Father Dan. Have a blessed September.
Thank you. You too. And we'll talk to you again soon, I hope.